The following audio is included in the Worldwide Church of God Library Collection. Please visit wwcg-library.com and explore the incredible truths that answer the mysteries of life.
Our greetings from the windy city of Chicago, the home of Al Capone, Mean Leroy Brown, and the St. Valentine's Massacre. Now, I only mention those things tactfully to you at this moment in case any of you guys get the idea of leaving during the sermonette. See, the Chicago churches are the only churches in the United States where the deacons must be card-carrying members of the mafia. You didn't realize these things, but I am constantly having to remind our elders that when they baptize people, they do not have to tie cement blocks to the people's feet. They don't have to do it. But people, unfortunately, still think of Chicago as they did during the 20s. They envision Chicago as being as it was in the 20s, with gangsters machine-gunning down rival mobsters from these speeding black Packards. But that's not true. That's simply not true. Black Packards went out of style a long time ago. They did. Well, it's a real challenge to be able to address myself to the needs of the young people in God's church and the interests of the young people in God's church. And when I found out I was going to be speaking on Youth Day, the first thing that I asked myself is, if I had just but one opportunity to talk to the young people in God's church, what would I say? What would be the one message that I would try to get across to them? And the idea that I came across was this, that I would talk to them about the measure that they use to measure their own self-worth and to measure their own self-esteem. That's what I would like to talk to them about. What measure do they use to measure their own human self-worth? What standard do you use? You know, the years between 5 and 20 are very pressurized years. We are constantly grading and testing our young people. As soon as they enter into school, we divide them up into slow, average, and fast learners. And then we grade them, we test them daily. Then we go ahead and we put them through all other kinds of grading systems. They either have to worry about being turned down when they ask somebody for a date, or they have to sit at home and wait for somebody to call them. They're either cut from the basketball team or they're accepted on the basketball team. They're either the first one chosen on the sandlot softball team or the last one chosen. And we're constantly measuring them. We're constantly putting them under some kind of pressure to measure their own self-worth, to measure their own value as human beings. But what standards do we use? It seems like from the moment that you're born, young people, that everybody is interested in measuring you and dividing you and sifting you and categorizing you according to your worth and your value. So is it any wonder that by the time you are 5 or 10 or 15 years old, you are beginning to measure yourself by those same standards? Now, what do I mean when I say that from the time that you were born, people are beginning to measure you, that they are beginning to evaluate you and beginning to categorize you according to your worth and your value and your importance? What do I mean that from the time you were born, that seems to be happening? Well, let's take beauty, for instance, that almighty false god called beauty. What is the first thing, friends, that the mother and the father craves to hear when that child is born? Yeah, what is it? Isn't he beautiful? Isn't he delightful? I mean, you wouldn't dare look down into that cuddly little pile of blankets and shake your head, pat the person on the back and say, well, he'll get better. You wouldn't do it. We absolutely crave to hear those words. Now, I don't think there's anything that is pretty about a newborn. There's no such thing as a pretty newborn. They all look like a 9-month-old prune. They do. You ever lay and they got their ears squashed up against one side, their head, they got their nose turned around to the back, their head shaped like a pickle. And then we're supposed to look at them and say, aren't they beautiful? I was told that when I was born, I was so ugly, the doctor slapped my mother. Old joy. Should have never used that one. But this is how we measure ourselves, isn't it, young people? We measure ourselves by how we look. And young people are acutely aware of how they look. They're acutely aware of their appearances and the appearances of others. And they measure themselves according to how they look and their appearances. It's the beauty, the senior beauty who becomes the homecoming queen. It's the good, tall, sharp, dark, good-looking guy who becomes the most likely to succeed. And so we measure ourselves according to appearances. And young people are very, very aware of the way that we look. And when we grow up, we don't become any better. It was a very sad commentary on that fact on a radio broadcast some time ago. You recall when those 8 Chicago girls were killed several years ago. They were all nurses. You know what the commentator said? He said, what made this tragedy even worse is that all 8 girls were so attractive. Now, how perverse. Would it have been any less tragic had they not been attractive? But that's the way we are in society. We measure people according to their appearances. And then if we're not busy measuring each other according to our appearances, what's the other false god that we set up? Intelligence. Intelligence. Again, from the moment that you're born, everybody looks for signs of intelligence. They look down there into that little crib. They look down there into that cradle and said, hey, would you look at the sparkle in that kid's eyes? Hey, you got a real sharp one here. I tell you, you got a real brain on your hands. Great. What do we do if the kid doesn't turn out to be super brain? Do we slap a bumper sticker on his forehead that says, out to lunch? What do we do? Put something on that says, tilt it? No, but that's the way society will measure us. And they always have measured us that way. And young people, again, are put through a pressure cooker because they're constantly being evaluated and judged by these standards. And that if it isn't bad enough that we measure ourselves by intelligence and by beauty, then we have a third false god that comes along. And you can pretty much guess what it is. It's special talents. See, we can overlook your face. We can overlook your report card. If you can run fast enough, if you can jump high enough, if you can sing pretty enough, or if you can play this, that, or the other instrument well enough. Now, sports is particularly the area where we begin to really place a great deal of importance, and we judge people's value and their importance according to how well they can perform when it comes to athletic abilities. Remember how embarrassing it was when you grew up as a young kid and you were the last one picked on the Sandlot softball team? Remember how embarrassing that was? It wasn't so bad when there were maybe 10 people in the little circle and they were picking out one at a time. But as every person got picked ahead of you, you felt smaller and smaller and smaller. And to find it, there was only you and the other guy. And he had a patch over one eye and a cast on his leg. Yeah. I thought I figured out how to beat that game. I'd come late. That didn't work. I'd get there late and they'd argue over which one had to take me. Well, can you imagine what that's like to a young person to have to experience those types of things day in and day out and have themselves measured by those standards? It's a difficult thing. Am I saying for one moment that we should not concern ourselves with our physical appearances? Of course not. Am I saying that we should not cultivate our talents? Absolutely not. Am I saying that we should not develop our intelligence? Of course not. But the abundance or the lack of those things, of beauty, intelligence, or special skills, either the abundance or the lack of those things, young people, is not the measure of your worth as a human being. It is not the measure that you ought to be using to gauge and to measure yourself. So what is the point? What is the point? Well, there's very little that you can do, young people, to change the way the world measures self-worth. Very little that you can do to change that. Nothing, as a matter of fact. But you can prevent yourselves from becoming the victim of being measured by those standards. It is so sad to see the rather melancholy hearts of so many young people who measure themselves by all these false standards and come up on the short end. And it's equally disturbing to see many people walk with their heads high who think they are God's gift to mankind simply because of the way that their skin is stretched over their face. No, your self-respect and your opinion of yourself should not be based upon how fast you can run, how cleverly you can shoot a basketball, how well you can sing, or your complexion, the shape of your body, or what color your eyes are. Well, then, what is the measure of your worth as a human being? One word, friends. One word. Character. Character. One simple, solitary word. Character. The ability to do what is right. The ability to do what is right. And there is nothing which will satisfy the human soul's hunger for a sense of peace and happiness and well-being and self-respect than doing what you know is right and not compromising the standard in holding the line. God told the people of Israel, young and old alike, through Moses, what does the Lord require of you but to keep His commandments? Solomon told the people, young and old alike, hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep the commandments. And Micah said, what does he tell you, O man? What is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Now, character is demanding, young people, and it's demanding in such a way that most young people in society today cannot live up to that standard of self-worth and self-value. Because it's demanding. It demands discipline, and it demands vision. It demands discipline because you're not always going to want to do what is right. And it demands vision because you must be able to see that the man who does what is right is the man who eventually will win. The man who will stand head and shoulders above his peers. So young people, keep on doing what is right. Stand firm. Hold fast. Hold the line. If you're compromising with what God says to do, I hope that you'll stop it. Because it's not worth the price that you're paying in self-respect. It's not worth the price that you're paying in terms of peace of mind. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. What is that measure of your human worth? One word, character. And there is no joy in God's good earth. No joy, no thrill, no excitement in God's good earth that can even compare with being able to come home at the end of the day and to be able to look at yourself in the mirror and be able to say, I held the line. I did what was right.
Thank you for listening to this audio file from the Worldwide Church of God Library Collection. Please visit wwcg-library.com and explore the incredible truths that answer the mysteries of life.